Hey, this is Anders, and you're listening to TCR.
Okay, so let's start.
Hello. Hello and welcome. Welcome back to another edition of The Center Ring, a.k.a. TCR, a.k.a. your favorite esports podcast. Episode 157 coming to you live and or pre-recorded from an undisclosed location. The date, May 13th, 2019. The time, 8:39 p.m. Central Standard Time. This might just be the best episode ever. Lots to discuss. I don't know if any of it matters, though. We will discuss and recap the Overwatch League Stage 2 playoffs, the Blast Pro Series Madrid happened, and of course we have tons to get to in E-News, our weekly segment of things we just don't have time, or the details to dedicate to a full segment. So we'll get to that at the end of the show, but before we do that, let's introduce the crew. Hello, my name is Tim. I will be your captain for this journey into esports. How are you? With me, as always, we have Anuj. How's it going, buddy?
Hey, guys. How are y'all? Doing all right.
Doing pretty darn good. And besides that, we got Brett. Hello, Brett.
Hey, what's up, guys?
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Are you ready for a fun-filled show, Brett? If you could just consolidate all of your statements. We don't need long form. All right, we already got yelled at by OGE's translator
it's
your
not
questions
my fault.
Don't translate well.
He needs a better translator. All right, hot sports
so
opinion.
It's the translator's fault now.
Hot esports opinion. He needs a better translator.
Just so the listeners aware, you know what? We'll get that into a second because I got to finish the intro. Go ahead and follow us on Twitter at The Center Ring if you're not doing so already. Stay up to date with the news, the show news that is. You can see all our personal Twitters on there, Discord link, all that. Be a part of the conversation. Let us know how we're doing. We sure do appreciate it. But earlier today, and you can find this later on YouTube, after I do some magical editing because we were technology limited us today. But earlier today, Brett and I were joined by none other than OGE of the Dallas Fuel to do a short little interview to help promote the All-Star game and the events around it coming up Wednesday and Thursday. So, you know, OGE, if you don't know, is Korean. His English is okay. It has improved since I spoke with him at the finals in New York, but it's not the greatest. So he has a translator there to back up. And Brett's first question, which I don't know if anyone knows this, Anuj can back me up here. Sometimes Brett's questions get a little long-winded. Maybe a little bit of shake voice involved, you know. But nonetheless, it was just Brett being Brett. And the translator was like, oh yeah, hold on. Let me actually fix this on stream here for you. The translator, by the way, we do stream on Twitch. So if you're into that, go check it out every episode. The translator, Brett, asked his question, which is something about, like, having Node on the team, and does it affect the meta, or how does he feel against the meta, against Vancouver,
and the translator was like... This is what I was trying to say. Let's start here, okay? And then you can bash
defend
me.
Defend yourself
in a minute,
against
right?
the poor translator.
I'm not
going to
defend
like,
myself.
Look, I got to write a translation, not a transcript.
It was winded. I will give you that. I'll take the L. I don't mind taking the L, right? Like, I know when I F up. But, like, what I was trying to say was, hey, you've had a full stage with Note. Talk to me how the team's performing in this current meta opposed to teams like, you know, the Shock and Titans. Where do you stand with, you know, with those guys? It didn't come out that way.
No, it did, and it
came out a little
bit
more long.
Can you say that one more time? And so he said it one more time, and then the translator was just like, "That doesn't translate well."
It doesn't translate well. You know
and
what?
Then, so Kevin, who is like works for the league and Blizzard. He's, you know, God bless his soul, pretty much had to translate in English what Brett was trying to say. And he was just like, how do you guys perform with note? It's like, yeah, summed it down to like three words. It's like, oh, it, poor Brett.
It would have been a good question, but you know what? That's okay.
Oh, I am still dealing with a cough from hell that will just not go away. So bear with me, listener. I got my water. I got cough drops. It's just, it won't go away. We'll see. Let's get into the content, though, as we do, because we did have big events over the weekend. I don't know how meaningful they any of them were, and that's going to be the underlining theme for this episode, is does any of this really matter? Because as esports grows, look, some tournaments just have to take the hit. Some events have to take a hit. Some of it's going to be fabricated. So we'll get into that. But with Blast Pro, you did have Blast Pro Series Madrid. I do want to talk about the matches first, and then we can get into the debate of the importance of Blast Pro, because it's their reputation has kind of taken a hit over, what would you say, Anuj, month or two?
Past, like, yeah, past couple months. I mean, even I think in our opinions as well, right?
Oh, yeah. You know, like, what, dare I say, I think we started it, because we talked about it first, like last week or 2 weeks ago, like how important is this tournament? And then all of a sudden, it seems like it's everyone is talking about it all of a sudden. But this, don't let the importance of the tournament, though, deter you from the play at hand. Let's start from the bottom, and we can go to the top. You did have Giants Gaming. That is actually Fox's team, if anyone remembers him. They ended up qualifying in the first day play-in games, so they were able to qualify. They got last place. Cloud9 ended up getting fifth place. I don't know if Cloud9 could fight their way out of Mountain Dew League at this point if they had to.
Rough.
They looked rough. Though, this did slide under the radar. A couple weeks ago, I did not know this, they got Valens back.
Yeah.
So Rambo is no longer their coach.
Rambo's back. Out. Yep. Rest in peace. Rambo's gone. Yeah. So
he is moving on to greener pastures. Not a total loss for him, I guess, other than a job.
I think there's another team he was actually getting tied to. But yeah, that Valens is back. I think that's, I mean, that's got to be a big boost, right? Like, Valens brings so much to this team. We've seen it. You know, we've actually seen it work with different variations of this lineup. But I still think this lineup is going to struggle even with them back. Like, I find it hard to believe that they've found what they're looking for. It still seems a little hodgepodge in terms of what they've brought together. The thing is, though, there are like good names on this team right now. Like, right, we've all seen Cajun B when he's at the top of his game. He's a fantastic player. Rush and Automatic have brought some consistency. Vice is still like TBD, I think it's safe to say. And then even with Golden, in the sense, it's like a TBD right now because we hadn't seen him play in so long. So it's still,
he's been on the roster for a good amount of time, but as far as like games on his resume, there's nothing
it's
to look
at. It's low. So he's got to feel like he, you know, I think from his perspective, he feels like he needs to probably prove himself again as well. So still a lot to be seen.
The only team Cloud9 was even able to defeat were Giants. And even that was almost a loss on their part.
That was like a 16-14, wasn't it?
Yeah, 16-14 on Dust. So again, Dust is a map where I don't think it matters what team is on. It's been around forever. So it could go either way, but still not looking good. Na'Vi ended up getting fourth as they struggled in the event, losing to NiP.
Barely NiP ended losing up getting to Astralis. Third.
Yeah, they lost to Astralis and eventually the winners on Ents.
And NiP looked good in this tournament. You know, NiP should feel pretty good, I think, coming out of here. They didn't perform poorly. They played with the big boys. They were the only team, I believe, to take out Ents in the tournament. And we'll get to them. But they looked good in the tournament. They played well. The Rez is performing at a high level. It's always nice. You're getting a little bit more consistency, I feel, out of Forrest and Get Right. At this point, and Dennis is kind of also working his way back in a little bit too, right? Like, he had a little hiatus, not nearly as long as Golden, but it stepped away briefly, and he's, you know, looking good right now when he did have some struggles before he left. So they're finding consistency within this lineup, and they look dangerous. You know, they're the number six team in the world right now, and they're consistently doing well at tournaments. Not winning them, but playing well.
You talking about Na'Vi?
Nip.
And then in the finals, you did have Astralis versus Ents. Rematch of the major finals.
Yep.
And, pretty good little finals. Some spark notes right off the top. Astralis losing their first ever game on Nuke. And it wasn't
31.
Like...
31 straight wins on Nuke.
31 straight wins.
One short of the record held by Nip, who had it at 32. And so Nip is popping the champagne like the Dolphins are. They keep the longest streak there with Nuke. And that was really ballsy on Ents' part. Like, Ents is also a comfortable team on Nuke, but they had lost earlier in the tournament to NIP and lost handily. They lost like a 16-5. Match on Nuke, and that was the only loss they had, and they threw it back in the map pool against Astralis. And you know, against Astralis, obviously they 2-0'd them in the finals, but they beat them earlier on Dust 2 in the tournament, so they came out 3-0 versus Astralis in this tournament, and that's gotta feel good after the Boston Major. Obviously it's not at the same level, but it still keeps Ents in that, like, hey, it wasn't a joke. You know,
right?
Like, right. I think that's the thing that people might have been worried about. Well, is the thing too, is last.
Yeah, you know, everyone gets on Astralis lately. Of, you know, they're not playing in tournaments, and the tournaments that they are playing in, you know, are not as meaningful, which we'll get to in a second. But look at both teams' recent history. It's not like Ents has been just traveling the world since the major, competing in events either. You know, like, there hasn't been that many events between the major and now. So that for the most part, they've been on a competitive, even playing field. It's not like Ents was able to, you know, you can't be like, well, Ents really worked hard against in these other tournaments, so they're coming in more heated. You know, no, they kind of even playing field. As Anuj mentioned, they beat Astralis on Nuke 16-9, so that wasn't even close, really. And then Train 16-13. I do want to, like, let's try to morph this into both discussions of talking about Astralis and then the importance of Blast Pro, because I think they kind of go hand in hand. I think Astralis kind of lit the fire, if you will, because obviously, if you recall, what, maybe a month or so ago, we discussed that Astralis announced that they weren't attending as many tournaments. What was the first one that they said no to?
Oh man.
Was it, it was a big one. Was it New York? Are they in New York?
Well, they weren't in Australia, right?
Right. Maybe that was the one I was thinking of.
So they weren't at Sydney, and that was a fairly large event.
Right.
Yeah, they're not going to New York. They weren't going to whatever one was just pinned right across from Blast Pro. There was another big one here recently, and now they're all starting. It was Sydney. I think Sydney was the big one that they also weren't attending. But even throughout the year, they've released a lot of their schedule, and right, a majority of their events are Blast Pro events, league final events, right? So things you have to kind of go for, the ECSs, the ESLs. Thankfully, they're going to be at Cologne, but still, like, a big portion of their schedule is tied to Blast Pro. And again, we've gone over this. So we're not going to go over the relation with Blast Pro and these guys, but that's kind of well known. And so, you know, we kind of talk about the importance of not only them winning these tournaments, but what is the actual importance of these tournaments to kind of begin with, right? I think Blast has taken some heat recently for obviously this drama, but also the format. You know, I think part of the problem is when Astralis attends limited number of events due to travel schedule or whatever the reasoning may be, they're attending events whose format is not the traditional CSGO format. Your best out of threes, your group play, you know, moving into a playoff system. You don't get that at Blast Pro events. It's a BO1 system, a lot of randomness to it.
Six teams. And it's not like E-League. Like, if you remember back when E-League actually did Counter-Strike, there were only like six or eight teams, but they were the top teams in the world. Like, yes, it was just a throwaway E-League tournament, but that tournament was huge as far as like the competition it was involved. Like, they got the top eight, the top six in the world to attend. This is Giants and Cloud Nine, which, you know what? I'm repping a mango Cloud Nine jersey as I say this. But if you had six teams to invite to your Counter-Strike tournament and being like, this is high quality skill, Cloud Nine would not be on that list.
No, you would want Liquid there, right? The number two team in the world isn't there. Fnatic, who's been playing really well, they're at number five right now.
FaZe.
FaZe wasn't in this tournament. MIBR, NRG, like the list kind of goes on. There's a handful of teams that you would want to see in these, you know, for a six team, give me the top six ideally, but there's still a grouping in the top 10 where you want to see only top 10 teams, right? Mm-hmm. And so that's not going to help Astralis's case to maintain that number one ranking if this is like your primary tournament that you're attending. Unfortunately, HLTV grades, they grade their tournaments, right? So think of it as like A tier, B tier, C tier.
Right. And that's how they get a lot of their points, right? When it comes to the HLT rankings, which I think is widely used as the ranking system.
It is. Yeah, it's the ranking system for Counter-Strike. And so they grade it as a Class A or whatever tournament. And there's been a lot of question and debate about that. And on Twitter, I've seen a lot of conversation going on there. And the defense is, hey, there's still a lot of top 20 or 30 teams in the world at these tournaments, so it's still considered a high-end tournament. But I agree. In my mind, it should be one notch lower until you either go to traditional formatting and you're bringing a top 15 team only, right, you know, to these tournaments.
And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with Blast Pro. Like, it is still a fun event to watch.
Yeah.
Yeah, I still love the show match that they do between, I think it's like third and fourth team. Yeah. Third and fourth
the 1v1
ops and whatever on the 1v1 maps. I love watching that. I think that's a fun way to lead up into a finals. I enjoy it a hell of a lot better than a casters match or something ridiculous like that.
UI is good for the game, like the all UI is infographics. I mean,
to think where Blast started, their very first event was laughable. Like, most places would not even try to continue after the failure that the first Blast Pro event was. And then they started doing them more. And then it was like, oh, we might get one or two of these a year. This is exciting. It's different. And now it's like, you know, they're competing. They're arguing with ESL for, like, prime time weekends because of, like, well, no, we scheduled it, you know, out in advance for this weekend. And ESL is saying, well, no, we need this. And it's a mess as far as the scheduling goes. And Blast Pro is treating themselves as like a top dog, which, of course, that's what you're going to do if you're a tournament organizer.
They're bigger than DreamHack in my mind right now for CSGO. Like, I think they're a bigger organizer than DreamHack is in the current CSGO setup. I mean, DreamHack has these summer events, which are really small. Well,
and DreamHack kind of limits themselves to, they always have to tie an event to a DreamHack, right? Like, you don't see standalone DreamHack
events.
DreamHack
used to be on the ESL, like those you know,
let's
terms,
see how Dallas works because it's a Masters event, you know. I'm kind of curious,
but that's like unique in the sense that it is a Masters event, right?
I get what you're saying, because the normal ESL event, or I'm sorry, the normal DreamHack tournaments, like if it's not a Masters, like last year's in Austin or something like that, no, I agree, they're pretty weak competition. They
try and pull
the
regional
teams.
Yeah, regional teams and like one or two overseas team get brought in.
And again,
generally,
nothing wrong with that. And I feel like DreamHack has conceded to it, right? Like DreamHack, it's like, no, this is, it works for us, right? We're not going to make Counter-Strike the main stage anymore, or at least, you know, last year it wasn't. PUBG was. So they conceded that. But I feel like Blast Pro wants to, you know, wants to be one of the top premier tournaments. And again, nothing wrong with that. You're a business. I get it. But you're with six teams and one best of ones. I'm sorry. You cannot convince me that this is as much of a grind as IEM Sydney or New York or DreamHack Masters. That's fact. It's not even like a subjective opinion like that. Look at the paper.
Are you getting at, like, you want to see what they do with like a 16 team tournament, right? Like trying to like balance that schedule.
It doesn't even have to be 16.
It can stay six for all I care. and you do two groups of three and you make them all like do a rotational best of three. Just give me a traditional format and give me the top tier teams if you're going to limit the number. Obviously, it's hard. They have to work it out with all these teams to get right. them there. So it's not like all on them, but that needs to be a really high priority, I think, to be graded as a tier one event. Like I see ESL yeah. still as miles ahead in terms of what I feel like I'm getting from an ESL event. I feel like I'm getting a full tournament. I'm not getting a little gimmicky of a setup, which I still feel like Blast Pro is, but yet they get the number one team in the world every time because they're tied to the organization, right? Without right. Astralis being at these events, they become laughable events. You take Astralis out of this event and plug in like a lower top 20 team, you know, put a Furia or a North or an Avangard or something in there that are ranked in the top 20, top 15 even. And this would be like a very low tier event in my eyes. And so Astralis is the kicker here. They're taking a lot of heat for it. We just kind of have to see how they kind of grade out. They didn't win the last two Blast Pro events.
Right.
That's a big deal. Like if you're yeah. only going to attend these events, you better win them. You know, like
if
I feel
if
like
you're
going to
commit, like Astralis has made yeah. their bed, right? They've said, you know, obviously we're going to attend the Blast Pro series. And again, I said it in the episode that we broke the whole thing down. I'm 100% okay with that. You know, like if my boss invites me to their party, I'm probably going to go to that party, right? Like they're the ones who write the paychecks. You got the same thing going on with Astralis. Of course they're going to attend that tournament. But if you're also going to say no to other tournaments due to travel reasons or whatever, right? I'm sure there's more than just travel involved on this. I'm sure there's a little bit more involved with that boss's opinion, you know, if you know what I'm saying. But then you,
do you
lose.
Think there should be. Oh, go ahead.
Finish I was going to say, the fact is, like you said, Anuj, if you are going to make that commitment and then you lose, if Astralis has never came out and said, we're not attending these certain events, and it was just a normal as business as usual, Astralis losing to Ents here would have been an awesome major rematch story. And it's almost taken away, like Astralis losing has taken away from Ents winning because everyone's just like, oof, you picked like 10 events to attend a year and you're not going to win them? Like that's not good.
Yeah, I agree. And I kind of forgot where I was going with do you think there should be any sort of limitation for event organizers to have buy-in on teams, like to have ownership stake within teams? Like I feel like in my mind it's a conflict of interest. I mean, it's obviously not regulated that way, but
right,
do y'all feel there should be some sort of limitation there? Where
I think there is, because like let's say that they do get a major, right? Like eventually way down the line, you know, they're able to show consistency and people just love them, and you know Astralis is always going to be there. Having Astralis there, I mean, a lower tier team like an Avangard or a Furia, being in the major, that's building your brand, right? Like you're there, you made it, it's time to expose yourself. And let's say you're going up against Astralis. Like what's to stop a tournament organizer from saying, hey, let's really focus on Astralis and, you know, give details about Astralis. And just really go all in on them rather than, you know, a team like Furia or an Avangard to build right. their brand over
so
somebody else's.
You're just talking about for more of like a business play nice and fair aspect is what you're thinking
yeah.
of, right?
Right. I mean, and I'm not going to say it will happen or does happen, but in the back of everyone else's mind, it could happen, right?
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's kind of part of being the free market that CSGO is, right? Like the fact that you can do all that. But this is my only beef, right? And it's I've always say this, like this is my attitude about life in general, is like if you feel this way about this, then you can't feel a different way about a similar or the same exact scenario, right? And I forget what the acronym, what was it? PEAP? The North American Players Association. Do you remember back when it started and like
yeah.
these teams signed into it and the players signed into it, and then it blew up because people realized in the fine print it meant that players couldn't do certain tournaments or, you know, like sanctioned, right?
Yeah.
And to me that's almost what like Astralis is doing, that it almost reminds me of that, right? Where it's like, well, you're playing favorites on what tournaments to attend. You know, and whether that be because your ownership is quietly nudging you saying, hey, you need to come to Blast Pro and you can't attend this ESL event because it might take away viewers from what we have going on or whatever, right? It's like,
I don't know. Like, Astralis says they don't want to have a crazy travel schedule, and then Device is traveling to Dubai next weekend.
Yeah,
and it's like, oh,
right.
Like, well, you know,
that's what I'm saying. I don't buy a good into the travel thing. I don't buy into it. Like, I just don't. I don't. Every team is doing it. Every team travels. You know,
and I get it. You don't want to be traveling like 40 out of the 52 weeks a year. But again, like, this is your job. That's kind of how Counter-Strike has always worked. They're changing the ebb and flow of it, and it doesn't feel right. You know, it just doesn't feel right. And
like,
so,
and then, like, again, if you were to tell them, if they were to come up to us and say, like, look, between the months of May and June, we're not traveling. Like, if we can go to local tournaments or whatever, that's a different story. But for these 2 months, we're going to treat it almost like our off season. Like, that would almost be a little different too, because it's like, all right, you're not really picking and choosing your tournament. You just chose the time of year and this tournament happens to be there, but you guys are committing to, like, dude, we just need 2 months where we don't see the inside of an airplane.
And instead, they're like, hey, we're not traveling May and June unless it's a Blast tournament.
Unless it's Blast Pro, yeah, then name it. Antarctica, we're there, right?
Antarctica.
So, you know, it leads me into the Overwatch League Stage 2 playoffs of how important is this event? You know, I think somewhat like Blast Pro, where Blast Pro is kind of fabricating how important their own event is, I feel like Overwatch League is doing the same thing with stage playoffs in general. I've said it before on the show that I think they're a joke. I think it's ridiculous that people try to make them a big deal. I get that it's a big deal for the players. I mean, you win a fat cash of $200,000 for just winning stage playoffs. You know, like, San Francisco walked away with $200,000. Titans walk away with $100,000 for getting second, right? It's just qualifying. Your team gets $25,000 minimum. So I understand from a player's standpoint why you're excited. But at the end of the day, that's all it is. All it is a cash tournament fabricated by the league to make you care four times, three times throughout the season.
Full conspiracy theory here.
No, I mean, it's not conspiracy. It is what it is. Like, imagine if baseball or hockey had a mid-season trophy to hand out. You would care a lot more leading up to the All-Star break if they handed out well, congratulations, you won stage one. You know, here's your trophy.
And you know what? I'm a Fuel fan, right? I'm a Fuel fanboy. It's okay. You know, they're in my local town. They're my team, right?
Right.
But at the same time, I'm not doing jumping jacks when they get a team kill in a stage playoff match. I'm just not doing it. To me, I guess it's good for teams to be in the stage playoffs, like, from a team benefit. It's like a litmus test against teams that are going to be, like, in the playoffs, because, you know, San Francisco, be that they won, they didn't drop a map in, you know, stage two, but it was still a litmus test to see if they were better than the Titans. So that was a good test for them, and, you know, they showed their worth. But yeah, it's kind of fake excitement from a fan standpoint,
right? Like, I get the importance of, like, the measuring stick, right? And I totally understand that from a competitive standpoint. Because, like I said, for a prize pool of $500,000 for a stage playoff, those teams are trying, right?
Oh, yeah.
From a pride standpoint, for $500,000, I'm playing, right? Yeah. I'm taking it for real. Yeah, so I understand that it's a good test.
And if you look at composition, you're right, Tim. Teams do care because they didn't deviate from what they've been doing the entire season. In stage one, two, and whatever, unless you're the Titans against the Dallas Fuel in map three of Anubis, and you kind of style on with four DPS and two support to end it. But other than that, you're playing legit composition.
Yeah, it was rough. So So, but I got that's. Oh, go ahead.
I have a little bit of a different take on it. Like, I actually do enjoy the stage playoffs in as a whole. Like, I like the idea of it just because it kind of breaks up the monotony of a long season, right? I feel like it creates a different type of buzz and excitement around the league rather than one long playoff system. Personally, what I don't care for is like the All-Star game. But that's for any sport. That's not
okay.
Like an Overwatch League thing, right? Like, I don't care about the All-Star game in all sports, really, except the NBA, just because it's fun to see people do crazy dunks, not because the game is actually good itself. So I don't have a lot of interest in that. But the stage playoffs for me create a little buzz, a little bit more interest. As somebody that doesn't watch Overwatch League religiously, I do keep track of like the stage playoffs because it creates, you know, it's just more talk on Twitter. Mm-hmm. I kind of keep an eye. It's like, then I get an idea these are the good teams. This is kind of where they stand.
But does that prove my point then that's the whole reason why the league fabricates it is to generate interest on would be a very monotonous season?
And I can tell you, I mean, Anush said it, there is an All-Star game. That would break up the monotony there. I mean, to add a little bit of fun in the middle of a season, you know, we talked to OGE today and he said, yeah, you know, I'm looking forward to playing DPS. Like, right. It just, like, have fun, break some monotony. But I also think that stage playoffs, I mean, for me, it doesn't do this, but I could see it doing for others and maybe viewership, is it kind of dilutes the end of the season playoffs. Like, right. I watched four.
Do you feel like it does?
It doesn't do it for me. It doesn't do it for me, right? But I'm speaking for other people that have seen four stage playoffs, and they're like, okay, now this is the actual playoffs.
But the finals are so different. Like, it's such a different setting, right? Well, you go to the arena. Like, it's just like on a much bigger scale, right? Like, and then it's awarding a champion over a league. So
I would like to talk to like fans of like maybe at the end of the year, right? Say the Shock beat Titans in stage two or stage three playoffs, right? And then you're in the grand finals and Vancouver beats San Francisco. Is there any Shock fan that is saying, yeah, well, we beat you twice in stage playoffs?
Ask NYXL last year.
Yeah, but you know, I wonder, you know, right? Like, yeah.
Because it was like, similar situation with the Spitfire.
Any NYXL fan talking smack about... my point is, you know what? If you make the stage playoffs, congratulations, right? It is, I guess it's an achievement. But if I walk into any stadium and I see a freaking banner raised for stage two playoff champion, I'm climbing up in the rafters and I'm ripping it down.
That's not the motivation behind them doing that, though. I don't feel like I know we're saying this argument, like, do they matter? No, they don't in the big grand scheme of things, but I think it matters to the league in terms of keeping interest, right? Look at baseball runs through the same cycle of it's 162 game season, just like Overwatch is a long season for an esport like season. So
and they don't play every day like baseball.
Where everyone talks about a baseball in the sense of, oh man, what can they do to keep the season interesting? Well, Overwatch has kind of found something to do that. I think if it was just one long season, okay, call me the last couple of weeks. Let me see the playoff race, and I'm just going to watch the finals. Mm-hmm. As a casual, very casual fan, right? Take out the hardcore fan out of this. So to draw attention throughout the season, I follow up in the stage playoffs because it's kind of a good, like, oh, hey, we're a quarter of the way through. I'm halfway through, three-fourths, and so forth all the way down, you know?
I think the real question is take away the ability to earn tokens while you watch and see what viewership does. I'm kidding. But but no, I think
All-Star Weekend, they're doubling up those tokens. So
are they? I'm in. Nope. I'm in, Tim. Nope. I'll watch
Thursday,
it
for Friday, the double tokens, All-Star
but,
game.
Now, don't get me wrong. I mean, like I said, being an Overwatch junkie, like, it's bonus Overwatch for me. I'm watching it. I'm all in. But I just...
I guess we're
arguing like two very
separate points. The bottom line
I think it dilutes.
Negative.
You think?
I'm just a negative
because they don't have third party tournaments. This is also another good way to kind of have a tournament within a league, right? Like we're Counter Strike, you're constantly seeing different tournaments take place. They can build up, you know, ESL. New York can be much bigger, where DreamHack can be on a smaller scale. This kind of gives them an opportunity to throw this out there, it's like a little mini tournament within this season.
I just hope,
personally really think it's all just good. I'm having a hard time.
I'm wondering if the negatives. I'm wondering if they're going to start doing that. Do you still have me?
Okay,
it kind of went red. All right, it kind of went robot-y for a minute.
Yeah, Discord.
Yeah, Discord being Discord.
Discord's having a fun time on his birthday.
I feel like we might see a little bit more of that, Anuj. With the popularity of the Overwatch World Cup, and when that happens, viewership is awesome. That I'm thinking that maybe you'll have the season, because there's a long off season. So maybe you have that Overwatch World Cup and then something in between, who knows?
Right.
You know, to kind of keep momentum and what have you. Maybe that helps to fill the void.
I'm just waiting for like Sinatra to have his Dirk moment where, you know, they get to that next leg and he just walks off the court. He says, we got unfinished business. It worked in 2011 for Dirk. It's got to work for him here. Like I said, it's me being negative. It's me like seeing the Shock celebrate. The confetti's flying everywhere. The owner's running on stage. Everyone's freaking out. And I'm like, stage two playoffs, boys. Like, let's keep the eye on the prize, all right? But at the same time, you're 18 and you just won 200,000. So I guess freak out as much as you want. Who am I to tell you? I'm just a platinum telling you to not celebrate.
If we were sitting on stage and we won 200K,
I'd be ripping off my shirt.
Sure, we would be jumping around and be
swinging my shirt around. My keyboard.
It's excitement. It's excitement on both ends. I get it. Like you're generally just a negative Nancy. Okay, Tim.
This is true. I mean, this is not like a. This is not a shocker.
But you know, as somebody again looking from the outside in, I think it's cool. Like I do think y'all got something good going there with the playoff system.
True. As far as that though, matches were pretty good. We can talk about a little bit, but not too much because I know we're running kind of already late. If we do E News, Shanghai, London, LA Gladiators, and Dallas Fuel all tied for 5th through 8th. You had the Spark and New York get 3rd and 4th, excuse me. And in the finals, as we mentioned, San Francisco played the Titans, which this was a matchup. It went the full length, Game 7. I hate that the Titans are named the Titans because this was a battle of the Titans.
It really was. I mean, it was a battle of two of the most aggressive GOATs teams in the league. Which is kind of why the Titans are where they are. They play that aggressive style, and they really haven't played anybody like that the entire season. Tim will talk about this in Refuel, but I think a big part of why Dallas didn't do so well is because they were kind of timid, and they were letting the Titans take the fight to them. But the Titans kind of met their match, and it all starts with the main tank in Super. One of the most exciting Overwatch players in the league, super aggressive, does a really good job of you know, being up there in front and doing damage, but at the same time, you know, protecting support and just kind of positioning himself well.
Right. We will discuss more of the Titans play style, especially in the Fuel, because we do a weekly in-season Dallas Fuel recap show. So if Dallas Fuel is your team, or if you just love us, you can check it out on YouTube. But I do agree, and the way the Titans play compared to any other team in the league is insane. Like you can see, like when other teams, and you can really notice this on maps like Kings Row, it drives me nuts to see pro teams do this, because I think they should have a little bit more confidence in their ability to win a fight a man down. But dude, on that first point, Kings Row, when one person dies on the team, it's like the entire team will back off and just give up the first point. You see it all the time. Titans don't do that.
Yeah, the only time you'll ever see them do that is if somebody gets picked super early. Because their team fights, and you saw this against the Shock, their team fights last forever before somebody goes down. So you'll see them, if they kind of die early, they'll back off, because with those long team fights, teams are building ults, right? Like it's kind of a battle to see whose Zenyatta can build their transcendence faster, or, you know, which Reinhardt can get a shatter in. You know, they're long. So if there's a long team fight, they lose somebody, they know that they built up ultimates enough to be able to win and stay in that team fight.
Sway that fight.
Yeah. But they do a better job of anybody in that.
Did not help them as they lost 4-2 again, though, in a game seven. So, or not game seven, game six.
Game six. 4-2. Yeah.
4-2. I can count. Don't worry about it. So that was the stage playoffs. Exciting, even though completely pointless. So enjoy your meaningless 200,000 there. Shock. I'm a miserable person. All right, let's get into some Inuzo, shall we? Because we actually got quite a bit to get to. In CSGO, Neo, this actually just broke. I know it was rumored. I've heard it rumored throughout the week, but just broke, I guess, this morning. Neo replaces Adren on FaZe and immediately steps in as IGL as Nico takes a step down from that. He actually played his first game today with FaZe against what team? Virtus Pro. Sweet, man. Sweet CSGO poetry in motion. And icing on top of the cake. Icing? Icing on top?
The icing on the cake.
Icing on the cake. Thank you. Virtus Pro won.
That is awesome. I mean, and we should come back to a FaZe discussion at some point because there's just
there's a lot of discuss really with FaZe. Just... I almost wish FaZe was at Madrid because I really do want to talk about FaZe.
Yeah.
So we'll hit that up on the next time they're in an event. We can spend more time on them. Again, them losing to Virtus Pro today. It was in the ECS. So if there's any time to throw him into the fire, this is the fire to throw Neo into, right? It's not a tournament that he's got to start IGLing. But, you know, it's just funny. It's funny. Teaser to when we do talk about FaZe, I almost want to put Nico on blast. So, because now that he's not IGL, what's his excuse? What's his excuse?
What's the team's excuse? It's like you know, it's the whole
people
team
keep telling me FaZe is this, you know, godlike Counter-Strike team, and Nico is just up there with Simple, and I don't see it. So we can talk about that maybe next episode or next time FaZe is in an event. In Overwatch, we already discussed it. All-Star starts on Wednesday and goes through Thursday. Double Overwatch League tokens. So if you're into that...
What the hell are these tokens we're talking about?
That's what you buy team skins with in-game.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Team skins and... you can also use them for the new Lucio and Mercy skins.
All the All-Star skins and stuff, yeah.
Yeah,
I gotcha. The jerseys are valuable. Cool. I did see the jerseys pop out.
Yeah, so, so that's double up. In other Overwatch news, Overwatch League partners with Upper Deck. I think that worldwide, everyone, but if you don't know, Upper Deck is the trading card company. They do baseball cards, basketball, any type of card, really. So that, to me, is as someone who still collects cards, right? Like, I still collect Pokemon and Yu-Gi-Oh! And I'll buy baseball cards here and there. That's pretty awesome. I think that's very cool that they're going to start doing collectibles with Upper Deck. Trade news, you have the LA Valiant acquired McGravy and some other players from Mayhem for Fate.
That's huge for both teams. Yeah. I mean, you got Fate.
LA had to do something. All-star.
Yeah, I mean, well, they had to do something. Fate was an all-star last year, and a big reason of why they were able to make the playoffs goes to the Mayhem as part of an all-Korean roster now. And
so they dropped. If you remember, McGravy used to be on Envy, then he went to Florida, then like 2 weeks later got dropped because he's white, and. They went full Korean.
I don't think that was.
No, that is exactly why they went to him and said, "Look, bro,
Mayhem's coach has been talking about like he's been scouting, you know, Korean contenders a lot. Like the GM has, a big, yeah. I mean,
the org officially announced it and said, like,
yeah,
we're done with you white people. We're going Korean.
That's exactly what they said, and they so can say cool that because they're in Miami."
They, ain't that the truth? Cool to see McGravy get another shot. And NRG drops their contenders team. So that's news there. Kind of sad. And, you know, when I first heard the news, I was like, oh, okay, well, NRG dropped their team, but this is just a way, because they're Shock, correct? NRG is Shaq ownership. Yeah, because Shaq tweeted out that Shaq won, and he's NRG. I thought it was like their coy way of saying they're rebranding the Contenders team to like Shaq Academy or something.
Mm-hmm. They just dropped them all together.
But they dropped them, and they said like in the tweet, like, we're more than willing to find them new homes. We wish them the best of luck. So it's very odd, again, that you, like, it's not like they're, like, the team is good, right? And you would think that every Overwatch League team would have a Contenders, but it just goes to show, like, financially, it just doesn't make sense for some of these guys.
I want to see what it's like, the life of a Contenders player, to see if it's, you know, maybe very similar to the life of a minor league baseball player in baseball. Like,
probably worse.
Their lives are rough. They are bad. So
probably
bad.
Worse. Yeah. I mean, look at Trill, right? Trill, who was on Envy and he was just called up to the Fuel. He's Australian, was playing in NA Contenders while living in Australia.
He's going to be the best player in Overwatch League, just so you know. It's a guarantee.
He's
playing on like 200 ping. Yeah. So, like, I mean, this is going to be a brand new... He's going to suck because the game's going to be so different.
That's why he's going to be amazing. That's why he plays Reinhardt, because he's on 300 ping. He just had to swing a hammer. He didn't have to aim anything. Just hold up your shield.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe you're onto something. Why he plays main tank. I mean, there is Custa. He plays main support.
Australian. You got,
he's Australian. Yeah.
So, yeah, man, that's exactly why. Just hold the left click. In Dota, you had the MDL Disneyland Paris Major wrapped up over the weekend. I did not have as much time to watch this as much as I wanted to. But Team Secret ended up defeating Liquid 3-1 in those finals. In other news, you have Rainbow Six Siege Pro League finals are wrapping up this weekend. So we might talk about that next week. And in Rocket League, the regionals wrapped up. So we have some of the teams who are going to Season 7 finals. In NA, you had NRG dominate Cloud9.
Yeah,
what was it, like 11-minute overtime that they had?
Yeah, longest overtime in RLCS history. Went like, 11-plus minutes.
11-plus minutes?
It was insane.
So that was entertaining. G2 and Rogue also go. Splice is in the promotion playoffs, and so is Evil Genius. As Space Station is wondering where their in-game skins are, as they are qualified for Season 8. And in EU, you had Vitality, FC Barcelona, PSG, and Triple Trouble qualify, as Mouse Sports is in the promotion playoff. Again,
didn't Barcelona blow a 3-0 lead to lose and get second there?
Yeah.
Anyone?
Yeah. I see what you did.
You listeners, you'll get it.
You'll get it, yeah, if you like soccer. And Vitality, real exciting. They got K-Dop, one of the best players in the world, going from Dignitas to there, so something to watch.
Yeah.
Can we talk Dignitas new logo real quick? Thoughts?
Sure.
I like it.
Do you?
It's very German.
But it's like, I missed the old one.
A little, I don't know what the old one was.
It was like that stupid little drop? Face that I'm
it
just...
It was like a little alien. It was like an little, alien, right?
An alien droplet face.
Yeah. I don't hate the new one.
I'm also not...
I like it.
I don't like change.
I like it better than Complexity's rebrand.
Complexity's rebrand made sense to rebrand. This one was just a new logo for the sake of getting a new logo.
Well, I also think this one looks professional. Like, this one looks like a... Like a professional a bat logo.
That's like sitting there, kind of.
I think it's an owl.
Is that what it is?
That's what I always thought. Well, I don't know what a Dignitas is, so maybe we need to figure out what a Dignitas
is. Let's Google Dignitas.
What is Dignitas? And an update on the Echo Fox story that we've been touching on in every e-news for the last couple of weeks. If you don't know, you can catch up, but the Spark Notes is... One of the owners is super racist. Rick Fox, who is also an owner, is black and doesn't appreciate it. Threatened to leave the org if this guy isn't kicked out. And man, it just keeps going worse and worse and worse for Amit Razada.
Yeah, I don't even know his last name. We won't give his last name attention.
We won't even give him the honor. We won't even give him the honor. So it came out and said, and again, last week we were kind of joking around, and I even made the point of like, all right, what is the difference between this and Sadakis saying the N-word, where everyone was so quick to be like, well, that's not really him, and well, let's forgive him and move on, and now he can, yeah, you can work ESL New York, sure, man, no problem. Well, we got our answer on what the difference is, as this guy has also been reported. This is from Slasher, who reported Richard Lewis. Rick Fox says there are multiple instances where Echo Fox shareholder Amit whatever called him a sand blank and would personally F him and his family for the rest of his life in any way possible. In a new report from Upcomer, Amit whatever also sent anti-Semitic text to Echo Fox investor David Viter, saying he is a dumb... Let's not let the music end on that one, all right? I need a little bit of background. He's a dumb Jew, I could say that. And when I'm done, you will wish you were in a camp burning. Oh,
bro.
My bro. God.
I should be laughing. Like, this one... is funny, but it's like uncomfortable. That is so uncomfortable.
I mean, it's so ballsy in this day and age.
And that is first of all, if you're gonna say it, Sadakis,
you're like, you shouldn't say it. First of all, but if you're gonna say it, to throw it in writing, like, good lord, this guy had some. Like, this guy had some cojones, dude.
How much money does this guy have to where he's gonna say that in a text message
to somebody who obviously isn't taking it well? Like, looking at the responses, right? It's not like.
And it's like, it to joking. Someone who is like your equal, right? It's
your
like,
business partner.
Dude, yeah. Like, how did you, I want to know, how did this get out now? Like, if he would have said, when I'm done, you will wish you were in a camp burning.
It's like, bro.
Like, right there, I would have been like, okay, maybe you're not a nice guy and I need to tell someone about this. Like, if we're comparing him to what Sadakis did, roll out the red carpet for Sadakis, because that looks so minuscule, and it really is in comparison to
genocide,
dude. Like,
it's just the whole thing. Hell? You put it all together, it's like, this is a package deal you're getting from Myth here. So.
And I love the fact that it's like the first week you're like, okay, well, what did he say, right? Oh, well, he called me the N-word. Ugh. Okay, yeah, you gotta go, bro. And then it's like the second week, he's like, well, but he also said it to someone else. Yeah, not good, not good. And then in the third week, it's like, you see in detail what he said, and you're like, oh, how is he not gone? Like, how is, it's like every week, it's like a piece of the onion is just unraveling, and you're like, ooh. I almost don't want to get to the middle.
Like, your eyes were watering at the start. By the end, you're in full blown tears. Like, it's, like, it's not a good
out
situation.
Of esports. Like, the fact that it was even a you almost feel bad for Rick Fox that it was even a debate. Like, he was like, I'm gone or he is. Like, dude, there's no debate here. Like, he's gone. Like, he's gone.
Like, get Rick Fox out of there.
I can't believe it.
No, I'm kidding.
I can.
I do have a better note for this to end on. I looked up Dignitas and what it meant. It's a Swiss nonprofit member society providing assisted suicide to those members of other organizations who suffer from terminal illness.
I saw that too, and I was like, man, that's depressing. I'm like, wishing I wouldn't have looked that up.
I know, right? So assisted suicide living, or... Can you say assisted suicide living? That's a no-go. There is no living. Assisted suicide center.
Center.
Yeah.
Sure.
Center.
We can say that.
Assisted suicide?
Yeah. Like,
why
it's legal
not
over there.
But thank you for ending the show on such a happy note. I really appreciate it.
Have a good Monday, guys. Appreciate you listening.
Have a good week.
Happy Monday. Stay happy, guys.
Have a good week. But I really do appreciate everyone who listened to today's episode 157 of The Center Ring, aka TCR, aka your favorite esports podcast, is done. It's in the books. Appreciate you for listening. If you enjoyed the show, go ahead and give us a follow on Twitter. Tell your friends, your loved ones about it. Do appreciate it. At The Center Ring on Twitter. We are YouTube. Ooh, yes. We do have a custom YouTube. YouTube.com/TheCenterRing. So we were blessed by the YouTube to that extent. So thank you, everyone who follows us on YouTube. We really do appreciate that. So go check that out. Sub on YouTube. Smash that sub button. Thumbs up. That's what they say.
Notifications, all the good stuff. Do it.
Oh, yeah. Hit the bell thing, I guess. Whatever. Do appreciate it, though, for listening. That is the more important part, that you enjoyed the show. But we will be back next week for another fun-filled episode as we talk about esports and all that implies. For Nuge, for Brett, I'm Tim. We'll see ya.